The Pulse WV Live, a network that beats to the heart of God, and I'm your host, John Fowler. So glad to have you tuned in to another edition, and glad to have you with us, even live on TikTok today, as well as Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcast. Hello to you all, and our normal Facebook. So glad to have you all tuned in. The assistant pastor from our Winfield campus, Pastor Dwight Walls, is with us today. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, sir.
What's up?
Not much, man.
If you look in, I don't know, for some reason we got a stuck screen over here on this one. Let me see if I can. Oh, there. You see that background?
Yeah.
That is Braxton County. Debbie Ashworth, and that's her farm up there. And her husband, James Ashworth, was a mentor of mine for many years. And she has a farm up there, and she showed me some pictures of it. I said, can I use that picture for the background of the podcast? But if you notice, there's a lake behind there, mm-hmm. and it just made me think of something just now, of saying, it'd give you a chance to promote your business that you have. And you have some actual customers from Braxton County.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do up there? Yep. I mean, what do you do worldwide for... in the fishing aspect and hunting of things?
We build and repair fishing rods. So we can take an old rod and rejuvenate it, or if it's broke, or if you're wanting a specific type of fishing rod, we can actually build them. We carry all the components and all the designs that you might have or want. Different collars, different shapes. Everybody fishes differently. So that way you don't have to go to a big box store.
So if you were going to, like for an example, if I was going to act, I absolutely know nothing about fishing. I mean, I've fished, you know, just like on vacation, that kind of thing. But if I was going to say, hey, you know, I needed a fishing rod and you were going to build one, how long does that take?
If I've got all the components in stock, it usually takes me about 2 to 3 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because once I get it actually built, it has to sit on a dryer for 8 hours for all the epoxy, because it slowly rotates, and that way everything gets nice and smooth.
Well, that's a neat thing. Well, and then on top of that, you are you do a TikTok video, don't you?
Yeah.
Aren't you live on TikTok?
Yep.
Is that every night?
Not every night. There's a group of us on there, rod builders, bait makers, that we all just get on there and chat and talk about rods or talk about baits or fishing. Uh-huh. It's like, you know, like a barbershop, try to take care of the world's politics.
Oh, you do all that too?
Oh, yeah. We get all that.
You have a lot of viewers?
Usually we do. We have anywhere from 100, 200 viewers, but then you get a lot of recaps, but it's live. So, I mean,
right.
you do get quite a few.
So if anybody that's watching and listening wanted to catch that, how would they find you?
Mine is under Ridge Runner Rods, and it'll do a push, or, you know, you can find it.
Right.
And then, like I said, there's several other guys, but, most of the times if you just go on your TikTok and hit the live button, it'll pop. You know, what's up and what's live.
What's live. Mm-hmm. And how long do you, what time does it start?
Easter? We usually start probably where 8 or 9, and then we'll run to midnight, 1 a.m. So we're on there quite a bit.
Is that every day or just most
usually
days?
Usually about every other day.
Every other day?
Yep.
And so you can check that out. So that's 9 p.m. Eastern.
For
people that
Eastern.
Are. Yeah, I have to stop and think sometimes because we got people in every time zone and around the world. You know, it's like, okay, here's where we're at.
Yep.
Well, that would be awesome. And then you're on, you have your Facebook page.
Correct.
And people can find you there as well and
Correct.
On Messenger.
Correct.
And so, well, that's an awesome thing. And, well, a few weeks ago, and, well, it's been a couple, 3 weeks ago, I guess it has, and our schedules just haven't lined up. Pastor Jay, where he's out of town, I thought, man, this will maybe work out to get you in today to talk about your sermon, which I really enjoyed, and I thought it was pretty awesome because it's like, okay, we just came through and the sermon that Pastor Dwight preached was Problems to Praise. And so we don't like to talk about problems, do we?
No.
And there are some churches, there are some faiths that exist that tell you when you get saved, you won't have any problems.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard it. I've heard it. Mm-hmm. But we know that that is not true. But we don't want our problems to define us
right.
as who we are in believers in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, we just, not to date this too much, but we just had a hurricane just come through Florida, Hurricane Milton, and did some devastation, as well as one 2 weeks ago. We've had flooding in North Carolina, mm-hmm. South Carolina. A friend of mine told me the other day that his buddy was walking close to where his house was, and he looks up in a tree 8 foot high, and there's a body up there. Mm. And so total devastation. It's like you can't go in and fix anything because there's not anything. You know what I'm saying? It's, mm-hmm. it's basically cleanup, and it's then and then rebuild. So when you think about problems, how do you go to somebody and minister to somebody and lead them from problems to praise when they don't, they probably don't see that? How do we do that as Christians?
It's hard. I used to volunteer for the American Red Cross on disaster relief, actually on for structure fires and, you know, major incidents. And the first thing you can only do is just be there. First thing, I mean, right out of the gate, give them a hug, just be there and listen, because they're in such a state of shock, you know, whatever the problem was. And whether that be a physical or even mental, spiritual, they're still in a numb phase. Right. And then once they will start to work out of it, then it's just start from the ground up, start picking, start, you know, if you fall down, you got to stand. Right. You have to get up. So there is a structural way to do it, but it's going to take time. You know, these people that have lost everything, you know, what they're looking for right now is just something that reminded them of the day before. Pictures, wow. Mementos, keys, something that they can physically hold on to.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, because like I said, they've lost it all. And you was talking about that, but there's another picture that came out on the media that this large flatbed dumpster was literally on top of a duplex house.
Oh, no.
Okay, you think of the amount of the tons that dumpster weighs.
Right.
And it went up in the air over 30 feet and landed on that duplex.
Wow.
And, I mean, it you know, the power of God is miraculous, but it's also wondering, you know, that power. You know, we've seen how water will carve out, you know, structures in the Grand Canyon and all of that, the power of it.
Right.
But coming back to someone's problem, it's just being there. Right. That's the first step.
Well, let me ask you something. Why doesn't God stop this stuff from happening? I mean, do you ever question that? I mean, I do.
Yeah.
And people say you shouldn't question God. I'm not questioning God. I'm questioning what is the reason? You know, why do we have to have hurricanes? Why do we have to have, you know, floods that kill people and destroy stuff? And it's like, and he, you know, he sees this,
mm-hmm.
but what do you do with that? I mean, I get stuck sometimes with that.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting, but we got to remember that God is omnipotent, but yet right now, Satan is ruler of this world. And I know some people don't believe that, but it's right there in the Bible that, you know, he is the prince of power of this world right now. Bible says it will rain on the just and the unjust, meaning, right. You know, there's going to be problems. It's going to hit a non-believer and it's going to hit a believer. So it affects everybody the same way.
Right.
This is not a perfect place. This is not a perfect world. You know, I mean, like you said, you know, diseases and floods and hurricanes and tornadoes, snow, avalanches. I mean, it all,
right.
it just happens. And I had a cartoon picture in my wood shop, and this guy is asking God, why didn't you send people to take care of abortion and of problems? And God's response was, you aborted them.
Wow. You kill them.
You done killed them.
Right.
You know, they had the knowledge. They had the power. And, you know, we talk, you know, light on that subject sometimes, but I mean, it's heinous to think.
Right. Yeah, that's, I think about those things sometimes, and I think about, you know, it's like, okay, God, why did this kind of thing have to happen? But then we look at this world today, and where you and I went to school together, things have, they've evolved in a terrible way in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. to where people cannot cope. I mean, people cannot handle stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we have problems, you know, we'll get, you know, as we dive deep into this, you know, when we have problems, when we have situations that go on in our lives, but this generation behind us, mm-hmm. seems like that they can't, I mean, like, okay, Hillary Clinton loses the election. Mm-hmm. All right. Then people have to have, what do they call it? The comfort dogs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I heard that was a big thing because, support, yeah. Yeah, because she lost the election.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, okay, what are people going to do when something bad really happens?
Yep.
I mean, where are we today, Dwight, when we think of why this generation behind us, or maybe the generation mm-hmm. that we're in, maybe they just can't seem to, what yeah. happened?
Common sense went out the window years ago. And I believe that the people, they want a reason to fight. You know, I love sitting down with people and talking, and I can have an intellectual conversation with a non-believer or someone that has a different political view. And I like to see how people are programmed. Right. I've always been a people watcher. I was trained that way from my first job, that they taught us how to read people. It's a curse, but sometimes it's, you know, it's necessary.
Right.
But, I mean, many times I think people just want to have that argument of, they want to, they think it's a release, but it's really not, you know, because it can do more harm than damage physically.
Right.
And, but people can't just sit and talk. You know, I mean, the other day somebody was saying something, I said, you're racist. And they looked at me and said, I've never talked about race. I said, no. Well, I said, what type of ice cream you like? He said, well, I like chocolate. I said, well, I like vanilla. You're racist because I don't like it.
Right.
And it stopped them because, for a second, they were trying to process why I said they were racist.
Right.
Because they didn't like something. That's our first initial act in today's time. Oh, you're racist. No, I'm not. I've just got a different opinion.
Right.
You know, I'm not whether it be on race, but in anything. I've just got a different opinion.
Yeah.
I can have that. That's freedom.
Right. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with having an opinion and to line it up, be able to line it up with God's.
Correct.
Know. Yeah, we've been, Tim Morris and I, you know, when we were doing that political show, we had somebody reach out to us and called us that. And mm-hmm. boy, I tell you, it flew all over me. Mm-hmm. I mean, that flew.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah, it yeah. did. I thought, well, you got to be kidding me that people would actually. But, you know, you're right. It's like people want to fight, whether it's politics or whether it's religion. You know, there's this one fella that I know that he's King James only.
Mm-hmm.
And he wouldn't spit on me. And he's a preacher. And he wouldn't spit on me if I was on fire.
Because mm-hmm.
I don't believe the way he does.
Right.
And it's like, man, where did this go sideways, mm-hmm. you know, in life today? But, yeah. you know, it's just, it's typical, you know, just the way people are. But as you said in your sermon, God is writing your story.
Mm-hmm.
And let him direct the path. And so I've taken it a step further. When you said that, and when I heard you say that God is writing your story, and I said, and I took, I think I had a pen in my hand, and I said, I need to put the pen down
mm-hmm.
and let him do the writing instead of me.
Mm-hmm.
So when you said that, God is writing your story, what do you mean? And let him direct your path.
Well, I mean, in the Bible, it talks about the narrow way and the broad way.
Right.
We got two different ways that we can go.
Yeah.
Well, problem solving is the same way. We can do it the easy way. We can do it the hard way. God gives us the information, or he will send someone that will give you and help you. Do we listen? A lot of times, no. We want to do it our way. We think it's better.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, it's the hardest way. And when God directs your path, he's nudging you, or he's showing you, just like we do a child when they're learning to walk. We sort of prod them like yeah. an animal. You know, we prod them, here, go this way. It's safer.
Yeah.
God, same way. he tries to show us you don't need all that. You don't need that. And that's when our problems start, is when we think, we want, we go this direction. And he's really trying to corral or to try to put us back on that narrow road.
Right.
And it's, you know, that's even getting into some of Jay's topics right now, the narrow road.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, it, my scripture was Psalms 34, and, you know, my caption was Problems to Praise. Actually, it was first called Problem Solver. And then for some reason, right in the middle of praise that morning, it was just like, no, not Problem Solver, Problems to Praise.
Right.
But yet the caption in the Bible says, you know, the Lord hears the righteous. He hears us.
Right.
He gives us the answer, but do we want to accept it?
Right.
You know, do we take it now?
Because it's kind of tough when you look at Job,
mm-hmm.
okay, and you look at all the situations that every one of us have been through, whether it's a physical thing or whether it's a mental thing or whether it's a church thing, you know, a wayward child, mm-hmm. you know, something. I mean, we have all gone through something. I heard Pastor Wright say one time, and I'm sure you did in your years at Maranatha, that you're either coming out of one, going into one, or you've just been through one,
mm-hmm.
you know, talking about some kind of battle. Now, I don't think every day is a battle.
No.
There's not a battle every day. I mean, it's like I've been in church services where the presence of God is so strong, and I hear somebody rebuking the devil.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think the devil, yes, the devil influences, the devil does things, but the devil's not on your heels every day,
no.
you know, about stuff. And so when you think about, you know, you think about problems and you think about him letting him direct our path, then you think about Job and you think about what he went through. And it's like God ratted him out. He said, have mm-hmm. you considered my faithful servant Job? And I can imagine Job being out in the field. And he's working, and he hears that,
mm-hmm.
and he looks. What the heck, God?
Yeah,
you
why?
What'd I do?
Yep.
You know, and it's like, and so there's been times in life that we have done that and said, mm-hmm. you know, it's like God, you know, you feel like a punching bag.
Yep.
You know, but then you look at somebody that doesn't have a house that's in front of them, that where their house used to be, and we have to figure out how to get their structure back or get their life back and then lead them from a problem to praise.
Mm-hmm.
That would be tough.
Mm-hmm. It is. And, you know, so many times we want to interject or we want to do our best with words, but it's just being there.
Yeah.
It's just when they turn around and they see you there.
Right.
That's the biggest thing. It's like when someone goes to the altar. I heard a preacher say one time, when someone goes to the altar, they should never get up alone.
Wow, that's good.
There should somebody should be there beside them. One, two, three, four. Somebody should be standing up with them when they get up.
Wow, that's good.
Because you're not fighting that battle alone. Now, right. They might have went there to praise God, might, you know, something else. But showing that people is there with them.
Right.
And they have our backs, so to speak. And, you know, I was taught that at a very young age, really, whenever I heard that minister say that. And it makes sense.
Right.
You know, it does make sense because we go to that altar, we're still not alone. God's right there with us.
Right.
But just the tangible part. You know, we're tangible. Everybody likes things, knickknacks, bric-bracs, all this stuff. They like tangible things. You go into Hobby Lobby or one of the big box stores and you walk out with something. You didn't need it, but they walk out with things because it's tangible.
Right.
And
like to how it feels or
right.
how it looks. Or
right. And God's the same way. He's tangible.
All right.
But we got to recognize that. And so many people, when they lose all that, it's heartbreaking. Whether it be a fire or flood, you know, I mean, you look back at the Clendenin incident years ago with the floods coming through there.
Yeah.
And, you know, just literally 1 minute the house is getting, they didn't have nothing to pick up. It was all down river, Elk River, into the canal. They don't have nothing.
Right.
But yet, you just got to be there. Give them hope.
Right.
And, you know, our government, they might not help, that's why a lot of people out here, you got a lot of good charitable people, they're first on the ground.
Yeah.
They're the boots. They're the ones right there because they understand.
Right. Yeah, that's a really good point back to Clendenin, which is in our area, you know, just a few miles away. Big flood. What year was that? Is that 18?
Yeah, 2017, 2018.
Yeah.
Pre-COVID.
Yeah, and I was actually driving back from Gassaway in that storm, mm-hmm. and was driving by Clendenin about the same time all that happened,
yep.
you know, on the interstate. You know, but when you think about when you turn your problems over to the Lord, it will get better.
Mm-hmm.
How does it get better as you turn things over to the Lord? What happens?
It's a release. It releases it off of you. It, I don't want to say endorphins, but your brain, it's like you just sighed.
Just exhale. Because, yeah.
Right. You know, and we all know what the exhale means, Yahweh.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the proper name for him. But many times when we release, we give it over to somebody. We take a step back. A manager at work gives a task over to an employee. They don't have to worry about it.
Right.
You know, so it's the same concept. You know, we want to try to do our best. We want to try, and especially men, we think we can handle it. We can do it, but we can't.
Right.
We can't do it, especially these problems. Like you said earlier, the devil is not omnipotent, omnipresent. He's not everywhere knowing.
Right.
He's not every situation beating me up.
Right.
But yet we do it ourselves. We, because we want to try to do our best.
Are we our worst enemy?
I believe, yeah, because we analytical. We look at things, we process things, and then if Satan can get into your mind, he will process it to where really it's good, but then we're taking it as bad.
Right.
You know, you get into mental health and things like that, such, and you know, chemical imbalances. Because there's many times I've asked my wife, you know, I've asked Lisa, did they mean that a good way? Or did they mean that bad way? Because I'm processing it different. Then Lisa was like, no, I think they meant that a good way. So, you know, we have to have a sounding board sometimes. That's my wife. But sometimes we perceive things different.
Right.
You know, just because. You know, the other day I was loading up a bunch of sheetrock. And the guy was backing out of a parking spot. And I had my cart long ways. And I was sort of blocking the aisle. And I motioned him back. You know, you got enough room. Come on back. Well, he pulled back up in his parking spot fast, abruptly, and I was like, great, you know, I made him mad. And he come back here, and he said, you loading all this by yourself? I said, yeah. I said they were shorthanded, and I said, I just slid it in my truck. He actually helped me, and I told him, I said, I was going to let you out of your parking. He said, I saw that, but he said, and I saw all your load, and he said, I just wanted to help.
Wow.
I could have took that by his pulling back forward as an aggression.
Right.
But I didn't. I was just, and then I worried because I made him mad, but it
right.
wasn't at all. He
right.
was just trying to get back out of the way and then come back here and help me. So right. sometimes,
nice,
like you said, we are our own worst enemy
right.
because we perceive things differently.
So how do you, so if somebody says something to you, and there's always an action and a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So when we as Christians, you know, we can't always respond how we want to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you know, it's like putting the toothpaste back in the tube. You know,
mm-hmm.
once you say it, it's out there.
That's right.
And you can lose somebody forever, you know,
mm-hmm.
by something that you say.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when you have that action and that reaction, you know, it's best to take just a minute and do like you say, go through your mind and rehash it, and then do you want to respond?
Right.
There are sometimes I want to respond, but
mm-hmm.
I don't, because I know that's the best thing is not to respond.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, that's tough sometimes.
Yep, slow to speak, slow
yeah.
to anger.
I mean, it really is. And my mom always said, let every word be seasoned. Let your words be seasoned with salt. That's scripture.
Mm-hmm.
She used to tell
right.
me that, you know. And I never forgot that. But sometimes, man, I mean, you just want to just let somebody have it, but you just can't,
mm-hmm.
you know, because of that.
Yep.
So what's the scripture that you have over there that lines up with what we're talking about?
Psalms 34, and, you know, that's part of it right there, verse 14, it said, seek peace and pursue it. You know, we have to seek it instead of being, like you said, quick to react.
Right.
You know,
Slow to speak.
Calm, slow to speak.
Yeah.
Calm. Get your words articulated. And there's times, you know, especially, you know, even in the media era, we're quick to be a keyboard warrior.
Right.
The same way. Slow to speak, you know.
Right.
They need a problem solver, not someone out there trying to, you know, downgrade them. But yeah, that's where it's coming from, Psalms 34, and it's got a lot of good, you know, things in there. I mean, it's only 22 verses. People can read it for themselves. But my two key topics was verse 6. I mean, verse 6, it says, the poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. And a lot of people look at that poor man cried as a physical, but, you know, all guys, you know, he's got a problem. He's poor.
Right.
He's got an issue. Doesn't mean he's physically poor.
Right.
Just he's in an area of his life right now that he can't cope or can't handle.
Right.
And yet right there is telling us, you know, but yet he's wanting to change. He's wanting to see a way out of all of his troubles. And we always think it's monetary, but it's not. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, again, being there. Someone to hug, someone to talk to, someone to let them vent or release. And, you know, that's the way God is. When we go to prayer, that's what we are.
Right.
We're venting to God. We're telling him problems, whether it be people sick, people injured, people needing saved. We're telling him things. And we have that relaxation moment for a second.
Right.
And then this will start all over again.
Right. Yeah, do you have discernment to where you can walk into a grocery store or walk into Home Depot or something and see, look at the countenance on somebody's face and know where they're at?
Mm-hmm.
And now, what do you do with that? Do you, as Christians, do we go up to them and we say something kind to them? Do we say, hey, you know, I just felt like I needed to come over and pray for you mm-hmm. today? I mean, have you ever done anything like that?
I have, and it's been both ways, receptive and rejected. A lot of times if something happens and I see somebody, and you can tell just their demeanor.
What are some of the demeanors for people to look at? Like a frown?
Disgust, yeah. I mean, they're walking around like a zombie.
All right.
They're just walking around in a daze, or they're not thinking. And the first thing I always do is pray. You know, pray for it.
Right.
If I run into them again a second time, because I ask the Lord, give me guidance. If I see them again in another aisle,
all right,
then we're talking.
Right.
Then I'm going to say, hey, how you doing, man? You know, or where I used to work in Home Depot and stuff, you need help. I used to work here. You know, I know where this stuff's at.
Oh, you did? I didn't know you used to work over there.
Yeah. I worked there for 3 years.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And, but I mean, you know, sometimes people, again, they just want that release. But whenever I used to work at Sears, that was my very first job in high school, worked there junior and senior year. But they put you through what they called salesman classes. And I mean, literally using a classroom to read people, because they wanted you to try to think for them on what they wanted, what they needed. So basically, you were speeding up their process to get to the next customer. And then they were trying to sell you different plans and credit cards and all this stuff. But yet, sometimes that gets you in trouble, because you might think they need this, but they don't.
Right.
You know, you might think they're going through this, and they're not.
Right.
So it's subjective sometimes.
So many people, and I've seen this, and you have too over the years, it's like, okay, this person's going through that. Mm-hmm. Okay. I learned this in banking. Okay, so, you know, it's like, you know, it's like I know what I can sell you,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know what you need unless I ask.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're so quick to say, okay, you come in and you say, hey, I'd like to open a checking account. Oh, okay, well, we got blah, 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 blah. So I just like flood you with all of this, and I didn't even ask you what you were going to use it for.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right.
And so we're that way in our Christian relationship, and we try to play hero when we need to be listeners.
Mm-hmm.
We need to listen before we can help with the issue.
Right.
And I think many times that's a big thing. It's
right.
Like we think we're a one-stop shop as a church, mm-hmm. when really, you know, we're we're not that at all. We should be better listeners.
Because what I've seen is people that come into a church today, let's say they're over the age of 35, many of them have been hurt in the church.
Yeah, a lot of times.
And they're trying to redefine who they are or find a place. And, you know, I've seen it. And then all of a sudden here we come out or something bad has happened in the church and now they're wondering what's going on. So we have to really look at it as a church perspective. Who's our greeters? You know, are they having a bad day? Did they get a flat tire coming to church? If so, take them out. Put a different greeter in there.
Right.
You know, because that's our first impressions in the church. You know, and, you know, people's smiley faces and coming and meeting and greeting and everything. But many times we allow those problems, you know, to filtrate, to even go into our sanctuary, to go into our praise time. And we won't praise. We'll just sit there with our arms crossed, mad at the world. That's not what we're there for.
Right.
You know.
So as we've talked about problems, you know, quite a bit, because there's a lot going on in the world today.
Mm-hmm.
So what about the praise part of problems? What happens? If you start praising God, does the problem go away?
It will. It'll start to dissipate because Satan don't like that.
Right.
Devil don't like it. You speak the name of Jesus, devil don't like it. He cringes. He cowers back.
Right.
And you keep it, and you keep it in your mouth. You keep it on the four part of your tongue to where your problems don't define you, but your praise does.
Wow, that's
good. You
know,
do people want to see you and be like you, or do they want, no, I don't want nothing to do with that.
Right.
So we need to keep Jesus on the forefront. You know, scripture was telling us, it says, the righteous cry, but the Lord heareth. God hears us. He's going to help us.
Right.
We might not like the answer that we're going to get because it might take us down a different avenue, but he will help us.
All right. So when you define praise, let's say that somebody's going through a loss of a loved one, or they've lost their house, and let's say somebody in Florida may be watching this today, or in North Carolina, what do you tell that person? What does praise look like? You know, what does that look like? How do you encourage somebody? If I was sitting on a couch, and you were Dr. Dwight here, and I said, I'm going through this, and I know that I've got a problem, and I need to move it to praise, what would you tell me?
It will get better. You know, even in an illness, it will get better. We might get taken out, but we'll get better.
Right.
You know, we'll get to heaven a lot sooner. Yeah. But the tangible part, again, is tangible. You can rebuild. You can replace. Yes, it's not what you had, but what you will have will be better.
Right.
You know, newer, modern. So many times that's the problem. People can't see the future because of the storm.
Right.
They can't see that. They can't see once that tornado, once that hurricane moves, it's going to be sunny again.
Right.
The birds will sing. You know, the fish will come out of the water. They can't get to that point because of all the destruction. And a lot of times seeing it hours after hours, days after days, it still brings a toll on people because they're still cleaning up. You know, if you would have looked at the Bluestone Dam here locally, it was within 4 feet of the 1960 flood. Well, there was over 6 acres of debris up there, and it's still up there.
Wow.
It's going to be there because there's no way for it to pass that dam. So all it's going to do is get waterlogged, and it's going to sink because they don't have a release. There's no way for it to go.
Okay.
You're always going to see that, and you're always going to have a memory, but that's just it. It's a memory.
Right.
Now we got to move past that, and that's what the Lord wants us to do is move past it and get into a praise because tomorrow will be better.
Right. Is praise like Lord, I just want to thank you for, you know, what you're doing for me, how you're helping me, mm-hmm. how you're leading me. You just want to just exhort him and tell how good he is and just praise him through the process.
Right.
Music helps, doesn't it?
Yep. Music helps. You know, we've got friends that are down there in Florida, and Marie and Bobby Sharp, you know, we went to school with them, and, you know, they were worried. They did all the proper preparation, and the only thing they had was some leaves down, a couple of tree branches, and she was given praise after that.
Right.
You know, so we need to give him that praise and take it to a new level, because somebody out there needs that.
Right.
Somebody out there might not be as less fortunate to you know, have that less of destruction, but they went through the same problem.
Right.
You know, it's like our soldiers, you know, they might not go through the same war, but they're in the same battle.
Right.
It's just a different name. And a lot of times you get pushed to the side. And even in the Bible, you know, warriors and stuff, they went through a war, they went through a battle. Okay, now you're in garrison, now you're in a peacetime situation, but you can't let your guard down. You got to still prepare. You still have to read, you still have to study, you still have to pray, you still have to know the word. Because when that problem arises, we've got to get our mindset right.
So if you're praising God when it's good, then it will help you to praise God when it's bad.
When it's bad. Right.
So if you're praising him, I mean, if you get a praise on, you know, when things are good. But a lot of people are fair-weather Christians, mm-hmm. or they're fair-weather believers, or whatever you want to call it. That's probably the wrong term. It's like, I'll serve you as long as things are good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll love you as long as things are good. I'll curse you when things are bad, and I'll praise you when things are good.
Mm-hmm.
And how wrong is that?
It is. Or on my time, you know.
What do you mean?
On my time.
Yeah.
Well, man, Sunday football games, I don't want to go to church.
All right.
You know, I'll go Saturday. There's some churches open on Saturday. Or I'll go here. I'll go there. Whenever I grew up in church, we was there Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night.
Me too.
Okay. Or revival.
Yeah.
And nowadays it's a hassle because people's like, well, my kids have got this, or I've got this, or I got that. And things are open, and we got to go here. We got to go shopping. We have just substituted Christ for everything else. You know, the computer, our phones were supposed to make our life easier.
Yeah.
And now we're surfing on it 8 to 10, 12 hours. You can go in there and look at, you know, in the biometrics and see how long you've been on your phone.
Yeah, I get an alert of that, mm-hmm. going to church on Sunday morning.
Weekly updates.
I can tell you exactly where it is. When I get off the interstate at Frametown and I'm headed on Route 4,
mm-hmm.
I know exactly when it's going to pop up.
Yeah.
You know, actually, my phone knows where I'm going, mm-hmm. on Sunday morning. It'll pull it up on the map.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it knows.
Yeah.
But
yeah. What if you took, let's say you spent 5 hours a day on that phone.
Instead of the word.
Instead of the word.
Yeah.
Or praising or listening.
Yeah.
I mean, we would have a lot stronger Christians, a lot stronger, you know, soldier, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, there's a thing at the beginning of that phone that says it all.
Mm-hmm.
iPhone,
mm-hmm.
iPad,
mm-hmm.
I this. It's all based on I.
Right.
When you think about, Satan will be mad when you leave his team.
Yep.
How true is that? Yeah,
because,
I mean, if a person's not saved, they're serving the devil. They may be a good person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But, you know, and probably better than a lot of Christians would be. But yet, if you're serving the devil, then he's going to get mad if you lose his team, mm-hmm. leave his team. And I wrote that down because I thought that was really good, what you said.
Yeah, because you never know how strong he is until you leave him.
Wow.
I mean, that's when some of your problems start. You know, they've always said a new Christian, a new convert, the toughest is the first 2 weeks.
Really?
Yeah.
I never heard that's good.
Because their family... Why'd you do that for?
Yeah.
Why'd you get saved? All Their right. friends, oh, man, you can't go with us no more. You can't do this. You can't do that. So they're experiencing a heavy loss.
Right.
Because now they're losing all this. And yet a young convert can't see what they've gained.
Right.
You know, what they know. I've got more friends in churches and other churches than I know than in the secular world of friends.
Right.
Because I've always been in it.
Yeah. That's me too. I couldn't imagine not doing anything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is it.
Yep.
And yeah, I mean, it's a way of life,
right?
I mean, it is your life.
It was,
you know, it is your life. And you know, to go and to, you know, when I talk to people sometimes that lived a long time in the world, and some of the things that they tell you, it's like, really? I never heard of that, or I never thought. You know, it's like your brain doesn't go there. Mm-hmm. And so when you think about that, as you wind up, you know, of winding down here over the next few minutes of here about problems to praise, what things haven't covered that you wanted to talk about today that will help somebody?
It will get better.
Yeah.
Your problem will become lighter over the days. Death is probably our hardest thing. You know, death of my mom, death of friends, death of a young relative in my life. That you don't grow numb to it, but yet it will get better. You remember the good times. I don't remember the bad times of my mom, my cousins. I remember the good times.
Right.
And that gives me the joy. That gives me peace. That gives me promise, but it also gives me hope.
Right.
Why? Because I know where my mom is.
Right.
I know where my cousin is, because even though he was 6 years old, man, he brought power. He brought power. He had a real bad blood disease, and he would always tell people, I'm going to see Jesus one day.
Wow.
And at 6 years old, you know, 6 years old, usually you're just thinking about what you want to play with and what type of food you want.
Right.
Not telling somebody, I'm going to see Jesus.
Right.
And that's where our praise needs to get on. That's where our praise needs to get the heat turned up a little bit, to where we can boil, where we can show people, because there's other people out there that have a little bit worse.
Yeah.
They just lost their home. They just lost a relative. They just lost this or that. And they're having a hard time right now.
Right.
They need it more. You know, there's always somebody. And it doesn't, like, again, it doesn't have to be monetary, but it could be physical. It could be spiritual. It could be mental that they're needing that extra.
I had a friend of mine tell me one time, he says, I tell the devil this when things are rough. He says, you know, there's one thing, devil, I'm going to heaven and you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, that's really good.
Yeah.
You know, that's a really good thought.
It is.
For sure. So if you have somebody that's watching today that needs to accept Jesus, or that is, you've got them right on the edge of saying, yeah, I believe that, What do they need to do to seal the deal with God?
Just ask. It's the ABCs. Ask, believe, and confess. Did you do something wrong? No. It was born into us from sin. From way back in Genesis, it was born into us.
Right.
We didn't do it, but Satan tricked in that garden. He led a destruction in a way. So, people, it's on the edge, just believe.
Right.
Believe it. Don't believe what the world's telling you. Don't believe what your own mind's telling you, but believe what God's telling you.
Right.
Just ask and then confess, you know, that I am a sinner. I was a sinner. I need a new life. I need a new thing. You go into a car lot and you buy a new car, you had to ask.
All right.
You had to talk to them. Same way. I want to ask. Now, that means find a good church, good Bible-believing church, not a left-wing, not a left, you know, crisis, but somebody that you can get into that's got a good men's, women's group, Wednesday night study group, and start learning.
Yeah.
And that's what people need to understand, that you know, I had a guy come to me one time. He was afraid because he wanted to go to church to get saved, but he didn't want to go into the little kids class because of what was called a Sunday school.
Right.
So you always thought it was school. You had to start from ground up. And I'm like, you don't go there. You know, you see an adult sitting in there with a bunch of little toddlers.
Right.
No, you're not. Yeah, you're going to have a learning curve.
Sure.
But you will get to know that. You will retain things. And again, it's by prayer and it's by study.
How true it is. It's always an honor having you here.
Thank you, sir.
And
appreciate
I appreciate you being here. And if you would like to hear this message, let me see here. I think I can. Here's what I'll do. I'll put the link to this message in the comment section. and so that people can get this message, because it's worth listening to in its entirety, because we've just like Bishop Donnie Robinette will tell me, we've just hit the high spots.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
cliff notes. Yeah.
We just hit the high spots on it.
Yep.
But so this message is entitled "Problems to Praise," and it's Pastor Dwight Walls, assistant pastor of the Pulse Church in Winfield, West Virginia. And just real excited for what God's doing. So I'll put that in the comments here in just a second and let people know. Do me a favor, share, like, and subscribe. Let people know that we're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Download the app on your Android or your Apple device. You can do that by going to the store and then typing in the Pulse WV Live. It gives you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, music, preaching, and teaching. Just like Pastor Jay Mace, Pastor Dwight Walls, Grant Snow and his hip-hop show, my Southern Gospel show that's on from 6 to 9 in the morning. It gives you access to all this, and we appreciate you listening and watching the Pulse WV Live. There are several ways you can give to this ministry. You can text the word PULSE to 1-304-244-3187. You can also go to thepulsechurch.com, give through PayPal, and check out our website while you are there. And then you could also mail your love gift to 5368 State Route 34. And that's Winfield, West Virginia, 25213. Thanks for listening and watching the Pulse WV Live, a network that beats to the heart of God, and have a great day.